Welcome to Tavern Tales Jr. and our third campaign, Mystical Middlemen. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tavern Tales Jr., we take a group of kids on a wondrous adventure in an entirely homebrewed setting. This podcast is created by and for kids, so let's see where our heroes will take us today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hello and welcome to Tavern Tales Jr., a D&D podcast for kids and adults, run by teenagers and adults. This is Mystical Middlemen. I am Savannah and I play Lilith Evermeadow, a tiefling warlock who has a very childlike taste palette and will never understand Cerulean's very wine-liking taste palette.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I play Cerulean Elias, the satyr druid with refined love of cheeses and wine, red wine specifically. He does not understand the appreciation for white meat that the party seems to have. They all love chicken tenders.
Not me. I could never destroy one of God's creatures.
Hi, my name is Will, and I play the role of Mitchell, the Asimar Paladin. And he will never destroy one of God's creatures, even though his party will always never listen to it.
And now we close our eyes and sink through our seats and through the floor into the world of the imagination, where our creatures of all shapes and sizes roam together, mostly in harmony, where big trees and big fields cover the world. We sink into our characters' bodies and find their minds.
And where are we?
We are in the West Keep, which looks much newer than when we first got there. Down a hallway, we face a cloaked figure.
The cloaked figure has stopped in their tracks. He looks out at the three of you. Recognition crosses his face, and he cries out,
"No! How are you here? Not again. Why do you keep showing up? You will not stop me this time."
What? This time?
He hastens to leave. What would you do?
We've never seen you before, dude.
Follow him. Run after him.
Yeah, chase after him?
Yeah.
All right. So are you going to look to your comrades and call out to give them direction? Okay. So.
Let's get this guy.
Yeah, right.
I don't care if we don't know him or he knows us. Let's go.
Yep.
All right. Let's go out on an adventure.
Mitchell's definitely the last to leave then. He ponders his theatrical exit. The three of you take off down the hall. The figure has turned the corner and has sprinted off himself. He looks back when he hears the clash and clatter and clang of the three of you armed and armored figures chasing after him. And he calls forth arcane powers to his hand, and he uses the command word of a spell. I don't know if any of you know this spell because you're a druid, you're a warlock, and you're a paladin, so you might have some familiarity with the mystical arts, but this is not a spell that any of the three of you know. He calls out in the draconic words of magic, and suddenly his stride doubles, and he moves so much faster than the rest of you. He becomes almost a blur as he races down the corridors. What do you do?
What the hell?
You've got to be kidding me. Okay.
We need to keep on moving.
bit hard to do when this guy's 10 times faster than us.
Well, if he's not going towards an exit, then I think we're fine.
He's moving like 120 feet per round. The best a normal human can do is about 60 feet per round.
This guy's not human.
A rogue could get to like 90. What can our druid do? What's your speed like there, satyr druid?
35 feet is my max.
So if you double that, because you use your action to move as well as your move, mm-hmm. you can go 70. Still not enough to catch this guy.
Hmm.
Does anybody else have any related speed or movement related stuff that can bolster them and move them quicker?
I can fly.
Oh, how fast can you go when you fly?
Where is that?
It's 60 feet plus your move, which is as well 60 feet. So you too, if you could fly. Now you are running down a corridor. It is pretty tight. I mean, you could run two people aside each other, but not much more than that. So it would be hard to unfurl your wings and fly forth, but it could be done. How about you there, mystical warlock?
I don't think I have anything that...
You got nothing, right?
No, I'm not... I don't have,
I
like,
a turn into a bird?
Not yet. Unfortunately, you are but too low a level to be able to turn into a bird.
Turn into a bear, though.
But a bear doesn't have that much of a high-speed movement. Maybe a cheetah or some sort of fast cat might have a comparable movement speed.
Could I?
I don't know. Can you?
Well, they have goat legs.
Yes, it would be a cheetah with goat legs. I'm perfectly fine. It doesn't change the stat block of the monster or the beast you turn
into. That's good. I really thought if you were a different DM, you would have nerfed me so hard for that color.
Feel like just from a concept and principle of being a DM, if a person offers you color, that shouldn't change the mechanic. Because you're not trying to get a benefit out of this. You're just adding something that's interesting.
No, I just think it's
character.
Funny.
I just imagine a cheetah running at him.
It actually also gives me a disadvantage, which means like when Sasha used like disguise person or whatever to act like a different person so we could get to a different side of Tanjika. Mm-hmm. I don't have that like skill anymore to become an animal and like hide amongst a bunch of animals or whatever.
Well, the animals will just think you're just one of them, just a little bit different.
I just have goat legs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. My mom was a goat and my father was a bear.
Back to Savannah. You got anything? You're hunting down your character sheet. I don't think you as a warlock do.
I don't think I do, no.
No. Are you a winged tiefling or not a winged tiefling?
I don't think I added any color about like having wings or anything.
That's perfectly fine.
No, my only idea is like athletics, but I've only got +1 in that.
So each of you is trying to think, maybe discuss things with each other as you're running down this long hallway. It has a bunch of doors.
I'm not turn into a cheetah.
I have a +6 in athletics.
Yes. It has a bunch of doors. It has a bunch of corridors. He blows past all of them, heading towards the wall up ahead, which has a large window in it. He has now outstripped you all by a couple of rounds, let's say. Not enough that you would lose him, but he is running straight ahead. He calls again mystical magic to his hand. Now, some of you might be able to know what this is, so I will allow you all to make an arcane check.
Arcana.
So that you can know what potentially he is casting.
Oh, Vada Kedavra.
Based 9. On what I can see out here, it does not look good for our heroes. We have a 9, we have a
5,
and a
7. That's a 3 + 4.
So none of you have beaten 10. You want to spend, no, don't worry about spending a blue gem on this, buddy, because he calls it forth really quickly. You learn what it is after the fact, because suddenly a guttering firebolt appears in his hands and streaks towards this window, shattering it, and he leaps through the window.
I want to turn into a cheetah and then jump through that window.
3 stories up.
You just made a mistake.
We need to get him to fly.
I'd like to say that time slows down and you get this cinematic movement as he turns and then flips you both the double deuce as he falls behind you looking at you, but he doesn't pay you, never no mind.
No, he does that.
He falls forward and you falls out of view. You spend the rest of the round running up to the window.
He's like, sayonara, and then like jumps out the window.
He says neither thing to you. And it is not a spectacle. He just jumps through the window and disappears from sight. What do the three of you do?
I jump out the window and fly.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. What are you going to do? Now, I want to also point out, your colleagues cannot fly. So if you do that and you just leave them behind, they will not be able to catch up because neither of them can fly. So what do you do, you three?
Can I survive a jump out of the window?
It's a pretty big fall, right? We're talking 60 feet. So that's a lot of D6s of falling damage. It's probably 10 D6 of falling damage. I don't recommend it. Robin makes a very disgusted face. So we have a character that can fly.
Mitchell.
Has he shown you his wings before?
No.
Do either of you know he can fly?
I think I assumed that he could because of his cape.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's got wings.
Like, we had that capes, moment where like, I was like wings. Yeah. It's like, nice wings, bro.
I don't know that he can fly.
No, you don't know these things at all about Mitchell. Mitchell, you know that Cerulean is a satyr, though, correct?
Yeah.
And not just a satyr, but you know that Cerulean is a druid, correct?
Yeah.
So you know that Cerulean can turn into little animals, correct? Okay. And you know that the tiefling warlock cannot fly, but not much else. But the tiefling warlock looks like you could carry that tiefling warlock. You are a strong paladin. Like you're just wearing a breastplate for armor, is that right? Will kisses his biceps.
Yeah, chainmail.
Chainmail. So it's pretty heavy. But I think that with your +4 strength and you're not carrying too much, that you might be able to glide while flying with difficulty and carry at least one member of the party.
I mean, it would be easy to carry.
Can I turn into a rodent with goat legs?
Yes.
Can you turn into like a rat?
I'm gonna turn into a rat.
Well, we don't know this is about to happen just yet. As we run forward, Mitchell unfurls his wings, shocking his colleagues.
What? Oh, you do have wings.
What?
Saying what?
We need a plan. I think, Cerulean, you should turn into like a rat with like goat legs or something. And then I can carry everyone down.
That's not a bad idea.
His giant radiant wings have unfurled and blast a bunch of air and papers off a desk further down the thing as he almost lifts off the ground with that single blast.
All right.
So you're going to transform into an animal, which we haven't seen.
We actually
I turned into a bear.
Yes, but we haven't seen you turn into a rat. So what sort of little animal are you going to turn into?
I'm going to turn into like a white rat.
A lab rat with red eyes?
Yeah.
And goat legs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine that it's a lot like a magical girl transformation where like we see Cerulean do a little spin. And then as he like reaches the where he as he reaches like look. To look at Mitchell, he's actually just a rat on the floor now.
I love
squeak,
it.
Squeak.
I think I've asked you this before. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you again because it has been a little while. When you transform, all of your gear and clothes and armor and swords and whatnot also transform with you into this rat. It's not like they fall to the ground and they are usable by other people and they're left behind.
No, I have them.
Okay. They disappear from view. You are, to all intents and purposes, but a rat.
Squeak. Can I talk?
Yes.
Hey, guys. Squeak, squeak.
All right, Cerulean, come here. And then Lilith kneels down and then puts her hand in front of Cerulean to climb
This is
up.
Vaguely demeaning. Hops on the hand.
Nice.
Okay, you don't have a choice. You're tiny.
Skitters up hand and then, like, worms its... And then, like, Cerulean worms his way through the clothing onto the shirt.
Oh, my goodness. A big hand of a tiefling grasps hold of you, pulls you free, holds you out, one hand under the left side of your body, one hand under the right side of your body, your arms sticking out over it, your head free, as Mitchell then takes hold of Lilith, one hand under your right left armpit, one hand under your right armpit, and you three-person... Titanic, I'm king of the world, leap from the building, and I need you to make a very simple, easy athletics check to catch the draft and fly off after this individual, whom all of you can see has a cloak that billows out behind him and allows him to fly, kind of like Doctor Strange in some ways, right? Like the cloak is doing the work here as he flies out into the battlefield where the war has begun, because this army of hobgoblins and goblins and maybe a couple of orcs is pushing at the battlements and is trying to surmount them to take and attack the keep. The keep, stretched out behind you, glows magnificently in firelight as people are all up on the battlements surveying the place and trying to protect their homes. All of the villagers from the nearby village that has been sacked and destroyed are huddled in the courtyard and the keep itself. You look down and you can see your friend and ally, the lady you're trying to protect, Ayara Dunmarketh, standing next to Arula, because that's where you left her.
I can't get over the rat.
I got a 15 on my athletic check.
You only needed like an 8 or so, so you've done a great job. Do you want to describe what this...
I rolled a
9. Do you want to describe what this looks like?
You see, you're looking at the sky normally instead of our earthling world, and like, say you're right next to the keep.
Is there two moons in this place? I feel like we talked about two moons.
And you're looking up at that window that broke down, and you're like, huh, I wonder who that guy is. It looks like the rat is controlling everything. Like, it looks like the rat is like, go in that direction. No, go in that direction. So.
Everyone make a perception check.
21.
That's an amazing perception check. All right, I think you're using the perception of a rat. So it might not be at the same perception skill, but it's fine.
So 5. I'm not plus 7.
9.
I think you're fine. Okay, so we only have one individual here who's capable of seeing what's going on. Maybe it's because you are currently a rat that things are going well. And our rat-like person can see there are these strange, they almost look like cell phone towers or antennas set up around the keep and outside the keep. And you watch as a figure who is trying to climb a ladder up falls just at the top of the ladder as they're pushed or attacked or hit by an arrow. They fall off the ladder and they land with a sickening crunch on the battlement below. And this goblin dies before your very eyes. And you can see a strange greenish glow suffuse this individual. And then that glow is drawn into this antenna, goes down from the bulb of the antenna into a little bright green pinprick that flows down the antenna and along some sort of cable or rope to a central place that's just like beyond your visual eye can see. And this is what you see, Cerulean.
What in a necromancy?
What would...
Was it the same goblin that like created this?
No, just a rando gobbo.
Squeak. Just saw a random goblin get turned into a green orb, go down a spire, which you can see over there, and get transported off. What?
What?
Are they selling souls?
Okay, what on earth is going on here?
I don't know, but maybe they're transporting the soul or something?
They just turned an entire goblin body into what looked like energy and transported it. There is something bigger going on, and I need to know what. Squeak, squeak.
Okay, yeah. Whatever that is, as much as we should probably figure out what's going on, aren't we chasing somebody right now?
That's true. You, of course, have been focused on the figure flying into the distance. He lands in amongst the hobgoblins and the goblin ranks, and he's off over there. So you spot this because you also see two bugbears pull out longbows and take aim at you and Mitchell. And I guess in some ways Cerulean, but Cerulean's so tiny that they're probably not aiming at Cerulean.
Also, anyone notice those two longbows pointing at us right now?
Well, time to dodge and weave.
All right, you can take the action of dodge. Two longbows lance out towards you.
Oh, they're throwing the bows. They're not actually firing arrows. They're just
and they both miss. These barbed arrows take off, fly towards you, and miss to fall harmlessly amongst the other goblins behind you. So probably not so harmlessly. But the war is definitely on. Fire erupts along one of the battlements as one of the goblins gains purchase and breaks an alchemist's fire
orb
clay pot and engulfs sadly himself, but also many defenders, and many people fall from the battlements, and that side of the wall begins to be overrun by goblins who've gained purchase. What do the three of you do?
We're going to need to land and, well, stop the cloaked man. There's so much going on. Squeak, squeak. I can't figure out what to do.
Okay, I'll go and go after the cloaked man?
Yeah, I think that's probably our best bet right now. We should figure out what on earth he was doing in the keep.
And what that blood was. Or, like, why the blood was there.
So, you see he's landed. There's a tent over there. You see there's two bugbears. They have large scimitars strapped to their backs. They have longbows in their hands. They have definitely targeted you. If you want to go after this black-robed figure, definitely seems to be a magic user, probably a wizard, has landed, and go and confront him, you probably would need to face off against these bugbears, let alone many other goblins and whatnot, because you potentially could land right into the middle of this goblin army.
And let's follow the green orb, probably.
So you don't know where that went to. You see the cable has gone off, but you don't see where that green energy has gone to. You could make an investigation check. It is dark. It is night. There are tons of goblins everywhere. To know where these cables have gone and where they've been stretched out to, it's a bit hard to figure out, but you could figure it. You mean you could look for them if you would like to. That is an idea.
Okay, we got two options here. We can, like, figure out what that green orb was, or that energy thing, or we can follow this hooded man.
I feel like we should focus on the hooded man. I mean, what on earth was he talking about? We don't know who he is, and he seemed to know us very well.
Maybe he's a time
traveler. I think it's another one of those situations where we are the heroes here, the chosen ones here to save the day.
Squeak.
But we are not actually the heroes.
So I'll give you a bit of color to help you, potentially. You know that this keep is destroyed and these people all die. That is the present that you currently are from. However, Lady Arula, she indicated that there were heroes that were coming to save the day in accordance with prophecy. But if those heroes showed up to save the day, this keep would still be there and would not have been destroyed this night by Varsuvius Blackthorn Grabknuckle, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, obviously, this is not a true prophecy, or if it is a true prophecy, it's not true in the way Lady Arula seems to think it is.
Yeah.
So, you're not really getting any help from your knowledge of the present because, like, hey, this war is lost. Not really getting any help from the prophecy, because if you are the heroes, how would you defeat a goblin army? So you're only here by happenstance. You don't know what's going on or why it's happening. You're flying over above an army right now. You've been presented with a few options. Don't forget, though, that the person you're protecting, Ayara Dunmarketh, is still inside the keep. And the goblins have now taken one of the battlement tops.
Okay, we need to go up and actually defend the keep, probably. That seems like the more important
the choices, because we're stuck here with someone who can't, like, defend themselves.
Yeah, you're right, Cerulean. We should try and defend the keep, or at least try and help defend the keep.
Yeah, we should go back.
Kate, you forsake these bugbears with their longbows. You turn back to get back to the battlements.
Is that a bad idea?
There are no bad ideas. The only bad idea is indecision. The only bad idea is to not make any choices at all. The bad idea here would be like, well, you know what? We just kind of feel like we can't do anything about this. So we're going to retire to a little cottage next to a river and raise some sheep. The end. That would probably be the bad choice here, right? And indecision, having options before you, not knowing how to pursue them. So all it would take to pursue the green cable is an investigation check. All it would take to face the guy in the black robes is defeating the bugbears and probably having some people hold off some these goblins and orcs and whatnot that'll attack you for penetrating the thing, but at least somebody could get in there. Somebody's a rat. I don't recommend splitting the party. That would not be a really good idea. The three of you better are better than any individual one of you alone. And yes, you also do want to make sure that Ayara is not left unprotected. But you did leave her with Arula, the Lady Illuminara, who is a powerful magic user.
Let's do some bugbears.
Think so?
It's more risky, but I want rat sneaky. I want sneaky rat
yeah,
moment.
Let's go do that.
All right. Squeak, squeak.
Everyone roll initiative.
It's bugbear fight time.
Still not rolling well. I haven't gone
a 12.
Haven't gone a roll over 5 yet.
If rolling's hard for you, I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems, but initiative ain't one.
I got a 7.
Got a 4. Actually, wait, hold, where's my initiative?
This die just isn't lucky.
Okay, never mind. I got an 8.
In this round, the bugbears are going to attack you. In the following round, some goblins are going to gain penetrate this area, and they are also going to attack you. The tent of this person looms before you. It's a big tent. We can describe that in a moment. As Michael is going to land and set Lilith down in front of him, who is holding Cerulean.
And you need to just, like, let me go. Like, yeet me into the battle. Oh,
the bugbears have a natural 1 initiative, so the group is going to go first. Who got the highest initiative?
I have a 12.
I have a then? 7.
I have an 8.
Then I have a 7.
Perfect. So before you land, is there anything you would like to do from the air, Cerulean, Lilith, and Michael?
I guess I could cast... Could I cast a spell?
Yes.
Okay.
You're a spell user.
I know. I'm not used to casting spells. Can I cast Toll the Dead? Or
are any of them hurt yet? Probably
nope,
not the best idea. What is another thing you as a warlock can do?
Eldritch Blast. Yeah.
So Eldritch Blast is the be-all end-all of the warlock class. Very few other classes get to cast Eldritch Blast. Cerulean, Lilith, and Michael all get to act before the bugbears. If you would like to land and not be in the air so you can all do something, by all means...
Land.
Land. Is that what you'd like to do, Michael? Coordinate as a team. Describe what your guys are going to do and get yourselves prepared. You're the ones who are initiating conflict.
What I think we should probably do, squeak squeak, is we need to land and then you guys are going to start fighting the 2 bugbears and I'm going to get in the tent as soon as I can. We'll skitter away. Maybe you could throw me a little bit. That would, like, propel me forward and allow me to get into the tent easier.
Yeah, all right.
Just go yeet.
Describe the landing, Michael.
It is a very soft landing, like he's done this before.
Excellent.
Except both of my party members. When he lands, a bit of dirt gets swept up into their eyes.
Yeah, of course, right? That makes sense. They don't know to cover them at the last possible second. So, to help you further, Michael, who has flown a whole bunch, begins his process for landing, which is he stops beating his wings, and suddenly you plummet the last remaining, like, 40 feet towards the ground. He lets out a giant puff and forceful flex from his wings that lifts you briefly moments before you were to smash into the ground itself, and you land softly, but this downward blast puffs up a huge amount of dust into the air, and you and Cerulean and the bugbears all get a blast of dust into their face as they land, and it is Cerulean's turn. What do you do?
Squeak! As they land, and then I feel like Cerulean needs to get launched, though.
All right, you're going to pause and hold action to take your move after you've been thrown. Are you going to throw the rat?
Sure, yeah.
Are you any good at that sort of thing?
Probably not. I have a +1 in athletics.
Well, then it's going to be a crapshoot. Roll your chuck. This is going to be your action as well.
I'm sorry.
Okay. To throw the rat.
Why am I such a bad roller all of a sudden?
How did you do?
I got a 2. Plus, I got 3.
A 3. So you throw the rat at the ground. You land and you take a D4 of damage, okay. Which is not, you do not have very many hit points, Mr. Rat.
Okay, I took 2 damage.
Yeah, that is like half the rat's hit points.
It's okay, I'll live. And then I like skitter away immediately.
All right.
I want to dash.
So are you making a stealth check?
Yeah.
So that you're not hit by these bugbears?
Or stomped on.
Noticed by them. So make your stealth check and then make your move and you'll have gotten to the door. Wow. How did you do on stealth?
22.
22. That is incredible. Okay. So no one notices you. You don't know where you think you threw him into the tent. You're positive you threw Cerulean into the tent. Like he's gone.
He's just gone.
Yeah. Great throw.
Woo.
Cerulean dips and dives and ducks and weaves and is entered the tent. And we'll get to you in a second. It is now Lilith's turn. What do you want to do?
Eldritch. Blah, 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 blah. I can't say it.
So you can Eldritch Blast, but you are right in front of these hobgoblins. Okay. Sorry, right in front of these bugbears. They're like the distance from me to you away from you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This isn't like a ranged attack party thing anymore where you're up in the air shooting.
Rapier, then.
So you pull forth your rapier. What does it look like?
It's this long, not super heavy decorated, I'd say like camouflage, like green sort of color, like almost nearly black almost, but you can see the green in it.
So there's black and green flowing through this blade.
Uh-huh, yes.
Is this a gift from your infernal parent?
Yes.
So this blade, how does it make you feel when you use it?
Powerful, protected.
Like, how much do you really want to be connected to your infernal parent?
Who is
also your patron? Like, you have a very strong bond and connection with this person. They are biologically related to you and as well granting you your infernal power.
Yeah.
So, does this make you feel good and protected and safe and secure? Or are you like, kind of don't want, you know, how do you entire, like, I just wanted to explore that a bit.
Like, she feels weirdly protected, yet also, like, unsure of it.
Right.
And unsure protective, like, oh, this could be gone in seconds, or doesn't know to trust it or not.
Very fair. Yeah, I don't know if I would trust it either. Did we determine who your infernal parent was in previous game?
I feel like we did after the game.
Yeah.
Did I write it down, though, is the question?
That's a good question. Anyway, you prepare and pull out your rapier. Now, if you are going to do a spell attack like Booming Blade or Green Flame Blade, you would make a spell attack and then you would take the spell action and then as part of that spell action, you would attack with the blade. It means you're only ever going to get to do one strike with it, but that's okay. You're a warlock anyway.
Yeah.
So you'll roll an attack using the spell Green Flame Blade or Booming Blade or whatever it is you would like to do. Is there And we'll see if you hit one of these bugbears.
Okay, better than usual. 16?
A 16 is barely enough, just so you're aware. One of these bugbears has a 16 armor class, and the other one has a 17 armor class. The one you're facing right now seems to be the weaker of the two, which, of course, you know to take the weaker of the two. Mitchell is much more skilled. If he faces off against the stronger one, he's got a ton of skill in fighting and better armor. So you face off against this bugbear. He has a goblin-esque type face. He has this long Russian-style beard that goes to a point that's been not very well taken care of. He is wearing hide armor and carrying a shield now that he's thrown the bow down and pulled forth his wicked-looking scimitar, which is notched and etched and definitely looks like it would do some lacerating wounds when it cuts into you with force. He is not wearing any shoes and is wearing kind of a kilt-like hide armor skirt that looks really cool, and he growls gutturally at you as you call forth the green flame blade and strike with your sword. What is the verbal component when you pull forth the rapier? What do you say that causes the green flame to suffuse the blade?
Infuse my blade with burning passion?
Sure. You say this in draconic language. So I want you to write that down. Infuse my blade
with burning passion.
And then I want you to figure out what the draconic words are for that as well, so that we know what it means, what you're saying, but what is your character actually say? It's like, Karesh Fakar Wandaro, or something like that, right? Maybe less Teletubbies version of that, but yeah. So, would you like me to describe what happens, or do you want to describe it?
You can. I don't have any ideas.
You don't know what this does?
No. Okay. No idea.
Green flame blossoms on the blade itself as you make your strike. Roll your damage.
All right.
Now I just imagine it as like a flower that's burning.
You've got to be kidding me. So just the rapier at 7 and then plus 5?
Is?
12.
Excellent. Well done. Now, here's what happens normally. On a hit, the target suffers the weapon's attack normal effects, and then you cause green fire to leap from the target to a different creature of your choice that is standing next to it. The second creature then takes fire damage equal to your spell casting ability modifier, i.e., you do your normal damage with this blade. The green flame hits and gouts someone next to them. What is your spell casting ability modifier? It's charisma. And what is the plus to that?
5.
So you do 12 points of damage to the first bugbear, to your bugbear, and then you do 5 additional points of damage to the other bugbear.
Nice.
Nice.
Is there anything else you'd like to do on your turn? A bonus action or a move action?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, then it is now Mychel's turn before it becomes the bugbear's turn. Mychel, what would you like to do?
I go up to the bugbears and hit them with my axe.
So you pull out your axe, furl your wings. Do you want to use your wings to strike an imposing thing and give these bugbears something to worry about?
Yes.
Because I believe that is something you get to do as an Asimar, correct?
I love this squad. Mythical middlemen.
So not only do you have 2 luminous spectral wings that sprout from your back temporarily, until you decide to make them go back, you can fly. And once on each of your turns, you can deal extra radiant damage to one target when you deal damage to it with an attack or a spell. And that damage is equal to your proficiency bonus. So you'll be able to do radiant damage with your axe when you hit someone with it. Currently, it's just +2, but when you get to higher levels, it's much higher. Sounds good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what are you going to do, our ASMR paladin?
Use my radiant soul.
So you already are using your Radiant Soul. That's already out.
I'm going to hit them with my Battle Axe.
Awesome. So roll to strike. You need to get a 17.
Okay.
That means you're going to need to roll an 11 or higher on the die. Do you want to spend a blue gem?
Is it the +6 is for the
attack? So you have a 13 right now.
Yeah, I'll use a blue
gem. Okay, you spend a blue gem and you're going to roll another d20. Still not quite enough. So you miss with your axe this attack and swings brutally, and the bugbear looks at you threatened, and both the 2 bugbears now take their action. They have ignored entirely the arrival of this white rat because they did not see the white rat.
White rat. What is the ground color? Is it like the opposite of the white rat?
It's torn up soil because they're battling.
Oh, so it's...
So I look very obvious if you're looking for me, but otherwise it's just caught up in the blur.
So the bugbears
goat legs.
Both ready their scimitars and they attack. And they both miss. The one attacking Lilith has rolled a natural 1. So that is a failure to launch there entirely.
All are rolling bad today.
He drags his scimitar across his shield, and one of the rough edges of it gets caught, and it twists him all up, and his strike goes very wide. The other one just has a sheer plain miss with rolling an 8 plus, so getting a total of 12. And that, I don't believe, makes your armor class at all. So, the first round ends with the bugbears having failed to find purchase in this slippery soil, and with their not really good scimitars fail to attack. This battle continues to wage between the 2 of you, but you know next round goblins will descend upon you. Hopefully you will have given Cerulean enough time to penetrate the tent. Cerulean, you make your way towards the tent. You have stealthily crept up to it. You think you have found the entrance, and you use your little nose to pry open one of the corners of the entrance flaps, and you clamber into the tent itself. What do you do?
Where is the cloaked man?
You have no idea.
I'm gonna like scamper around. I hear clanging and a from a bugbear outside, and I'm like,
yeah,
okay. And can I roll something to see?
Sure.
Him?
So you are going to quietly allow your eyes to adjust to the gloom within this tent and get a feel for where everything is in this darkness, and you will roll a perception check.
22.
22 is a ton for perception check.
I have a 7 on perception.
There are boxes and other things galore in here. This tent is very full of stuff. You can see some writing and some markings on the box that don't make any sense to you whatsoever, written in a language that you do not comprehend. And you do see a dim, dull green light somewhere beyond the boxes inside the tent itself. And you hear the voice of the man muttering, saying, "Come on, come on, faster, faster."
Squeak.
That is your turn. You continue to maintain stealthy status?
Yeah.
Excellent. You're going to creep a little bit closer, trying to see what's going on.
I want to get onto the man. I want to, like, climb up.
All right. Well, that you're not going to be able to do this round.
Yeah, I know.
So we move back to the top of the next step of the round. It is Lilith and Mychal facing off against their bugbears. I assume you're both going to do the same thing you did last time. Why don't you both roll attacks? Okay. How did you do, Lilith?
13.
Total?
Yeah.
You have missed the bugbear. You need that 16 in order to hit. And how did you do, Mychal?
15.
15 is also not quite enough to hit. You need a 17 to hit these things, which means you're going to need to roll an 11 or higher. That's just where it is for you. So,
wait, no, I have plus 6.
Yes, so 11.
I need to roll a 10.
But this bugbear you're fighting has a 17 armor class because he's wearing a little bit better armor than the bugbear that Savannah's character
is
fighting.
He's the younger brother, huh?
Yeah, and he's also the one in charge, so he gets to wear the better gear. So, they both strike at you guys and both miss as well. What the heck? This is just, it's just looking really pathetic back and forth as you faint and weave. No one has gotten into it, but two goblins come in with daggers and the goblins are like, "No, we will get you. You're out of here." And they both try to strike at both of you because these goblins have come up from behind. What's your armor class?
15.
The goblin hits you doing 1 point of damage.
Nice.
Yes, with his tiny little dagger, you get missed. It hits you in the armor and you feel a tiny scratch across your armor from this goblin behind. We turn to Cerulean, who is inside the tent.
I thank the goblin because that part of my back was itchy.
Nice.
Can I get onto the man now?
Are you just going to jump onto him or are you going to try to sneak onto him? What is your goal here?
I want
to
jump onto him.
Okay.
Is that stupid?
I want to know what your intention is. So once
I
want to
question this dude. I want to be like, "Hey, yo, man, what you up to?" Like I want to question this, you know?
Yeah. Okay. As a rat.
Yeah. Well, I want to use the rat form to like disrupt whatever he's doing, right? Climb onto him and then like change back while onto him and then like attack him if he doesn't, you know, answer my questions.
Cool. I love all this color. Make a grapple check.
How do I do that?
You're going to roll a d20 and add to it your strength check.
Oh,
your athletics in this instance, which is not much.
That is, I am not athletic.
You are not that type of character, no.
8.
All right, so you are not successful in grappling him, but you know what? Sure, you can have advantage because of this beautiful color of being a rat, transforming back. Roll a second d20.
I have plus 2.
Cool. That's really awesome. So a 13 is actually enough in this instance for you to grab hold of this guy and grapple him.
So I'm like skittering along. He's like muttering and he doesn't hear me go squeak as I jump and my rat claws reach out. I dig some holes into this cloak and I like start climbing and then I scamper all the way up to his shoulder and I'm like, "What you doing? Squeak, squeak." And then I transform back into like actual Cerulean. I've basically toppled this guy over because
he falls to one knee and lets out a, "What the? Oh, Cerulean."
Huh? Huh.
"I don't know how you found me this time, but you will suffer for this."
Can I like get this guy in like a chokehold?
Well, you have him currently grappled.
Okay, yeah.
So that's kind of like a chokehold. You can also see that there is a, for better or worse, there is a, it almost looks like a capsule, an arcane looking capsule that has a series of green lights on it. and there is only one or two green lights that are not lit on this capsule. And you can see a myriad number of ropes and cables coming into this room, reaching up to fill this capsule. Outside, you can hear the sound of combat has blossomed and erupted. And there was a brief moment of cheering that came from within the keep itself as this black cloaked figure flew out. But then suddenly, a radiant figure carrying a tiefling, holding aloft something glistening and white in the double moonlight, flies out and has landed in amongst the army of the horde of goblins, the army of Varsuvius Blackthorn. But that cheer is quickly overrun by the horde of goblins descending into the keep itself.
Oh no.
And while more goblins turn to face our two heroes, and Cerulean holds this black-robed mage at bay, what happens next, we will have to find out.
Next time on Mythical Middlemen.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by Okidoki Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at okidoki.org or follow them on Twitter at Okidoki Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at tavern_tales.
I'm wondering if you come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. Round up the troops, and get the gang to come. Neighborhoods, head over the river.